Good afternoon, I'm Kathy Lewis. You may not realize that Car Talk, the landmark NPR show featuring Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers, actually ended its run of new shows nearly 4 years ago when Tom and Ray retired. WHRV has been running best of episodes, but that comes to an end this Saturday. And today we'll meet the host of the show that will enter that 10 a.m. Saturday lineup. We'll also talk about the fact that the Chrysler Museum will soon be home to the works of one of the most prolific rock photographers ever to hold a camera. Keep your head banging to a minimum, and let's talk about it after this news from NPR. Noon. We are so glad to have you with us on a beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. Looks like we have a tiny bit of rain in the forecast, but otherwise, what a glorious weekend. What a glorious weekend. Hope you had a chance to get outside and enjoy the great weather. Happy that Pride Fest was a great success over the weekend and the weather cooperated beautifully. And we hope that whatever you were doing this weekend was happy for you and your family and that you enjoyed this beautiful, warm, breezy weather. If we could keep it this way through July and August, we would be most fortunate. But let us not dream on, my friends, because, you know, the hot and the humid is coming at us before we know it. You know what else is coming at us is a great exhibit coming to the Chrysler this weekend. It is about the prolific career of Herb Ritz, who is just an amazing artist, and you'll get to see the rock portraits that he documented, intimate portraits of some of the biggest names in rock and roll, some of whom we've been talking a lot about in the past year, Prince and David Bowie, Janet Jackson, Bruce Springsteen. So it's going to be a great exhibit. It gets underway this Saturday and runs through the summer, actually through September 18th. So it's a great summertime exhibit if you wish to partake of it, and why would you not? Because there's a lot of fun things to know and tell and to experience there. We're glad to have Seth Freeman with us today. He's the Chrysler's curator of exhibitions and acting curator of photography. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Susan Leidy's in the studio with us as well. She is the Chrysler Museum's deputy director, and she's been a co-project director on this manager on this project. Susan, great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Kathy.
Tell us about why you chose this exhibition.
So the show was organized by the Rock Hall and Museum in Cleveland. And so we heard about the show, and we had seen the work, and Herb Ritz is a photographer who I had been looking at for a long time, and I was especially interested in having his work, and this was the perfect show to bring in.
And what did you particularly appreciate about his work? He was a really kind of a role breaker in some respects.
He was. I mean, it's in some ways personal. I grew up with this stuff. I grew up reading Rolling Stone, and I grew up on the music videos that he directed, especially Madonna's Cherish and Chris Isaak's Wicked Game. So I knew these songs, I knew his work, and it's always just been a part of my understanding of what rock and roll is through these images. So I was glad to see them in a personal way, but also we know of his work as a sort of a ground changing artist, a shifting artist in the history of photography. He had this ability to create these iconic portraits of his sitters that at once are incredibly intimate and familiar, and at the same time make them look like heroes or kings or gods. And there's this ability to do both at the same time, where it's as if you could have a conversation with the sitters and as if they're somehow greater than everyone else.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that and really capture them sticks out among other photographers.
And this was a real departure from the sort of the glamorized style of photos that we used to have.
That's right. And so Ritz is creating his work at a time when New York glam is sort of all the rage at the same time. And you can think of Madonna as a key person here, that Madonna is she's shape-shifting. She's changing her personality. And one of those personas, or many of those personas, Ritz is capturing. And so there's the sort of New York downtown girl, and that's a different kind of scene. And then there's the California girl. And he's capturing that kind of queen or that goddess moment. And you can really tell when you see his work, there's everyone talks about the light in Ritz's photographs, and I think that when people come see the show, they'll immediately see why the light is so important. He was known for shooting on the West Coast, in and around LA, oftentimes in the desert, and using light to really draw out these heavy contrasts in his images. So unlike the New York photographers who were shooting all the grit and grime of the city and the glam of the city, he's really stripping things down and pulling the person to the forefront.
Mark McKenna got to see much of this firsthand. He's a former assistant to the artist. He's also the executive director of the Herb Ritz Foundation. Mark McKenna, thank you for being with us today. Is Mark McKenna with us? Okay.
I'm here.
There you go, Mark. Hi, nice to talk with you today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
What a privilege it must have been to work with Herb Ritz.
That is an understatement in all aspects. I mean, he was a genuine human being. The way he approached making pictures was a part of his own personality. I mean, in the sense of that when he was capturing people, he was capturing this, you know, beauty that he saw in every individual, and it was his interpretation of them. And he really liked highlighting people's best aspects. So that was one of his major attributes.
We're talking about him in the past tense because he died in 2002?
He did. He passed away from complication of AIDS in December 2002.
And so there's always been that connection between the foundation and supporting causes that would fight this disease.
That's correct. It's Herb left us with directions in his trust about what he wanted his legacy and his estate to manage, which was matters related to HIV and AIDS, and then also supporting, you know, photography and photography arts.
How do you see, Mark McKenna, how do you see his influence in photographers of today? I mean, are there any photographers that you can point to and say you can really see that Herb Ritz legacy there?
You know, you find individuals today who have little pieces of Herb's work in their work, but I don't think you can actually find somebody who has the whole package. And that's not saying anything bad about anybody today, but Herb was unique in the way that he was able to do so many things, work with so many diverse people, whether it's, you know, Gorbachev or Bruce Springsteen or Julia Roberts. In any given day, and that's you know, that's a testament to the way he approached his photography, and is also his comfort around, you know, personalities and celebrities. And I'm not sure that all these other photographers have that, and also the way he just technically worked, where he used a very simple camera, as they mentioned, he used daylight. So he took things out of the studio and he made it a very personable event. The session, it was very real, and the camera was just a secondary part of the day.
That's Mark McKenna. He directs the Herb Ritz Foundation. He is a former assistant to Herb Ritz. He's actually going to be in town this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Chrysler, along with a colleague, Lori Krotokvil, who is the former director of photography for Rolling Stone magazine. The two of them together will be talking about Herb Ritz and these rock portraits that are at the Chrysler beginning this Saturday. There's a wonderful opportunity for you to meet the two of them and to hear them talk about what this artist has meant, a very prolific career, to photography and to art and to rock and roll. That's going to be a conversation in the Kaufman Theater. You do need to RSVP. It's free, which is the great thing about the Chrysler, but you do have to RSVP so they'll know to save you a seat. It's reservations.chrysler.org. And Mark McKenna will be joined by Lori Krotokvil, and she joins us as well. Lori Krotokvil, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
As you think about this, you've worked with a lot of photographers at Rolling Stone over the years. I wonder if you would put Herb Ritz in some perspective for us based on the other photographers that you've worked with.
I think that, you know, Mark, you were asking Mark about the relationship of other photographers to Herb's work. And I think one of the things about Herb.
Oh, my goodness. Lori, are you still with us?
Took their feelings from the history of photography, almost sculptural workings with the light and all that. But I think what Herb had in spades was he had the trust of the people that he worked with. I think that they fully trusted him to produce the pictures and edit the pictures to what would make it truest to them. And he had a real truth in his pictures. They were very, very clean. And again, they had that heroic strength and iconographic look to them. He used very few props, very little production. It was really just about him and the person and the moment they were having the day he was shooting them.
I love that you talk about that role of trust, because it seems to me in that relationship, if you are entrusting your image to someone else to portray or to express, you know, that's such a big word and such a profound element in that relationship.
Absolutely. And the, you know, the editing process that comes after the pictures are taken. I mean, some of these sessions were, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours at a pop. And, you know, that's a lot of pictures. And you really have to trust the person that they're going to select something that is representative of you. And I think Herb really, really had everyone's trust.
We're at 16 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Those are the numbers where you can join us today, and we look forward to your thoughts and your calls. This is a great exhibit coming up starting Saturday, running through the summer, in fact, into early September. But you want to get it into your schedule for the summer. Susan Leidy is with us in the studio today. She's the deputy director of the Chrysler. Susan, nice to have you back with us today. Thank you for
being
here. I love what you do in your job, and I love that you do it and I don't, because it seems to me that what part of what you do is to make sure that these magnificent works of art, all kinds, by the way, sculptures, paintings, everything else, glass, get to the Chrysler safely when they're borrowed from other places and get back. It's an amazing job.
It is an amazing job, and it's a fun job most of the time. work really hard to bring a variety of things to the community. As Seth mentioned, when we had the opportunity from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to show this, Herb Ritz hasn't been shown at the Chrysler, hasn't been shown in this community, has largely been shown in Boston and Los Angeles, where they've had major shows of his work, and now the Rock work in Cleveland. So it just seemed, and particularly in the summertime, where
sure.
we're all thinking a little lighter,
yes.
That it would be just fun
yeah.
to do. So I'm a big rock and roll fan, so when we found that this was available, we jumped on
you
it.
You seem to be somebody, too, who is very open to new ideas, and there is not much that seems to faze you when it comes to what you bring into that. I mean, that's amazing to me.
As I said, we work really hard to show a variety of things
right.
and to bring in new audiences all the time. We're very interested in expanding our audience, and so anything we can do this, and we hope
sure.
that this will be a big...
I'm telling you, you have a lot of related opportunities that should help expand your audience, so without a doubt. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. One of them, of course, is this terrific talk on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock with two of our guests today. Krotokvil, who's the spent 12 years as the photo editor for Rolling Stone, and Mark McKenna, who directs the Herb Ritz Foundation. So that's coming up Saturday at 2. And if you are going to attend, because why would you not, you want to reserve at reservations.chrysler.org. You can go have lunch in the little cafe there, Wisteria, which is lovely, and go check out the exhibit. Just make a day of it. But you also have these Third Thursday events, which are fantastic. And the one coming up on Thursday, July 21st, is Rock In and Rockin' Out. And that's going to be great as well. That's free for museum members or students with a current ID. And it's only $5 for everybody else. So I think that's a great opportunity as well. And then Third Thursday in August is also going to have the Next Generation of Stars, which is the house band from Norfolk School of Rock. And that's a great idea, too. That's a terrific institution in this community, Norfolk School of Art, School of Rock. Well, School of Art, too. And then on Wednesday, July 27th, there's going to be a gallery talk looking at the Herb Ritz photography and thinking through how these images become iconic. That's a great question, too, because out of so many photos, I mean, I do wonder about that. What do you think it is, Mr. Curator?
One of the things that I really love about this show is that it gets into some of that material. So you can go and you can look at your favorite stars and really enjoy looking at the photographs from that perspective. But we also included, there's contact sheets and tear sheets from the magazines. And you can really get a sense of Ritz's working process. There's a section on the Rolling Stone cover with Sinead O'Connor, and you can see how the images went from the shoot to film to the contact sheet to the editing on the paper itself, and then to the overlaying of the Rolling Stone headline and the call-outs. And I think you really get a sense of how an artist is looking at a subject, both for the work of art, the image itself,
yes,
and then how it's going to translate to its commercial destination in the end.
So, Laurie Krutakfil, I'm wondering about that transition that Seth was just talking about. The artist takes an image. The artist then sends it over to you at Rolling Stone or whatever magazine it happens to be. Where are there lines in that relationship? I mean, what are you able to do with that? And do you have any relationship with the artist to say, hey, here's what we'd like to do with your image?
Oh, definitely. I mean, working with Herb was really great because, of course, we spoke before the shoot, and, you know, sometimes I was on the shoot, and that was always nice. But Mark and I laugh about Herb's editing process, too, because he would send me proof sheets, and they would be all marked up with what he wanted, and 1X was like this picture, 2X's was love this picture, and it went from 3X's on to 10X's, and you always knew what Herb really liked. But he was very open about the editing process and talking about, you know, maybe his favorite picture not necessarily working for the story that we had, that we were running in that issue. And so we had a very close working relationship. And discussing it with him was, you know, I got to know him very well through what he said about the pictures and how he felt about the people. So that's, you know, that again is a very trusting,
yeah,
kind of situation. Of course, I'm working for the magazine, so I have to be, you know, very conscious of what the editor is interested in, but that's what made my job so interesting. And I think the iconographic level of these pictures is, you know, people look at them and they go, oh, I remember, you know, it's like a song. It's like a music, you know, you remember where you were and what relationship you were in and how you were feeling at that time, because it just becomes so much part of your life.
Mark McKenna, you were there for a lot of these shoots, I'm imagining, as a former assistant to Herb Ritz. I wonder if you'd talk about what that experience was like, being on location with these really iconic rock and roll figures. I mean, just the biggest names in the business.
You know, I was fortunate for a large part of the photographs that are in the exhibition. I was on those sessions. You know, one thing I think I mentioned earlier, you know, the way Herb approached photography and taking pictures and creating sessions, it wasn't so much of a hard, old-school, bring him into a studio, have him stand on an X while a camera's on a tripod, and, you know, you just have this stagnant session happening. He really liked to create an afternoon or an event. I mean, so he would always shoot in daylight, usually using the late afternoon light, or what they would refer to as the golden hour. And by doing that, it allowed a certain spontaneity and freedom between him and the subject. And somewhat like I mentioned earlier, the camera was really a secondary part of it. It was really about understanding and relating to somebody. And, you know, Herb understands publicity and understands the rights to publicity. So he knew that when these people were coming in for their work, it was work, these photo sessions.
Mm.
And so he did whatever he could to make it not feel like work and make it feel like a moment and a relationship and then allow something to happen that he was capturing with his camera.
It's fascinating. 25 minutes past the hour. It's this again, coming back to this idea of the trust that these sort of mega stars in rock and roll placed in this marvelous photographer. He photographed Prince, Madonna, Cher, Janet Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, and the like. 25 minutes past the hour, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Mark McKenna, it strikes me as well that Herb Ritz died of complications of AIDS, and it really is a stark reminder to folks who are old enough to remember how devastating that disease was and how much it compromised the arts community.
That's very true. I mean, you know, Herb was one of, you know, many, many artists, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, from Keith Haring and Robert Mapplethorpe, just to name a few, were passing away. So Herb lived quite long after the epidemic had started. But it's still something that's very real and very prevalent even to this day. I mean, people are managing their health issues, but it is still a problem, and it's still an epidemic, and it's still here, and people are not so much paying attention to what they need to do to be responsible about it.
You know, I wonder, Seth Freeman, as you think about these photos, because I think for some people that will be a walk back in time to a great extent, how did you and Susan work together to try to figure out how to display these photos? Because I'm imagining you had some different options in that regard.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of the works in the show, there's some series, so there's certain artists that are featured very heavily, and we sort of knew that those would go together. And then there's different groupings that go together. But we wanted to have these sort of touchstones as you go through the exhibition, where you can kind of take a pause from a long line of celebrities and get into some of the material. Some of the tear sheets and contact sheets I mentioned before, but also what Laurie and Mark are both talking about, there's this incredible intimacy that Ritz had with his sitters, and that's conveyed through the show. We have a lot of quotes from people who sat from him. There's a video where a number of his sitters are interviewed, and you really get a sense hearing from them and hearing their voices about what it was like to be working with him, how a session would go. I think, Laurie or Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Katie Lang who mentions sort of at the end of a shoot, sort of squatting down, and she's just captured in light, and Herb says, wait, let me get this one image, this is the one. So there's stories like that again and again about how there's this comfort with him.
Yeah.
And so we organized the show so that you can go through, see a bunch of big names, but then you can really get into the material and explore with some depth.
I think I just so envy the way photographers look at the world. I mean, I think they must see things differently than the rest of us do somehow.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's some points in the show that talk about this, and I'm sure Laurie and Mark will talk about this as well when they're here, but, you know, Ritz was a California guy, and he was seeing the world through this kind of light, and he mentions there's a story around him first becoming a photographer when he was shooting Richard Gere, and that he was just taking pictures, and he just had an eye for it. I think he studied art history and economics when he was at Bard. And then he sort of took this turn, and he started making images, and he just had a way of seeing the world, and it comes through in his entire body of work.
Susan Leidy, in addition to the photography, though, there will be lots of other aspects of this, of the whole presentation here, that are not just the photographs. I'm sorry. I'm looking at you and talking to somebody else. You've got a bunch of memorabilia from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then a selfie opportunity, which is kind of awesome too.
So we had a wonderful opportunity because the show, the space in which the show is exhibited at the Chrysler is larger than what it was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we had some ideas of how to fill that space. What could be better than to get some stage costumes and some other things related to the people on the in the show? And so we talked to our friends at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who were amazingly generous and let us, believe it or not, go into their archives and pick some things out.
It was a fun time.
I have to say, it was one of the best days of my life.
Because you're the one who gets to do that. Figure out how to get this stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. Seth was there as well. But, you know, a whole rack of Rod Stewart jumpsuits.
No.
And things were coming in at that point in that office. Things were coming in for the next Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gala event. So things were moving all the time, and amazing things there. And so we looked at Madonna things. We looked at Diana Ross. We have a gorgeous Aretha Franklin dress from early in her career that is just beautiful. Wonderful Madonna stage costume. Bruce Springsteen's early leather jacket.
Stop it.
Yes. a top hat of Elton John's, which actually appears in one of the Herbert's photographs. So really fun stuff. And that's there just for fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And so you just, this stuff just hangs out in your office until it's ready to display, I'm guessing. At least that's what you thought, right?
Yeah,
there we go.
Yes, I've worn most of it, actually.
Exactly. So you've got a very, very cool thing and fun thing that should help build new audiences.
And as you mentioned, a selfie station.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So we've, fortunately, they did this at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, took out Madonna from a famous cherished photo shoot. And so you can portray yourself as Madonna or whomever you'd like. And one of the great things about this show is, as Seth mentioned and has been mentioned before, these are iconic photographs. So these are really the way, and that's a lot of what Ritz did, is create the image that we now know of these people.
Yes.
The ever, you know, in no way more obvious than the ever-changing Madonna, and how she changed her persona over time. Ritz documented that throughout his career, and so much of what we know about David Bowie, Michael Jackson, Madonna, are because of her Brits. I like to talk about, and this is a little obscure piece, but the Joe Cocker photograph. And if you know Joe Cocker and his really herky-jerky kind of presentation, absolutely captured in the photograph by Herb Ritz.
Yeah.
You can hear Joe Cocker when you look at that photograph.
And we should note that our producer Morgan Chase is going to be putting that photo on our Facebook page in case you would like to take a look at it. But boy, just amazing, amazing photography. 29 minutes before the hour. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Those are the numbers where you can join us today. You know, I'm wondering, Lori Kurtokville, as you think about working with these images during the time that you did at Rolling Stone, did you see changes in the work over that time?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I don't really think so. I mean, I think that Herb's body of work expanded and the kinds of things that he did expanded, but I think the real nature, the true nature of his work didn't. I mean, it was so pure to begin with, and it just, you know, it grew horizontally. You know, he did wonderful, you know, other projects. He did lots of other projects. He went to Africa and did a great book there. And, I mean, he did all kinds of, you know, advertising work and tons of fashion.
Yeah.
And so he did a lot of different things. But the pure stylistic nature of his work, I think, was pretty grounded from the beginning.
Just who he was. That's Lori Kurtokville. She spent 12 years as the photo editor for Rolling Stone magazine. She will join Mark McKenna here on Saturday at 2 o'clock, the Chrysler Museum, and they're going to be doing a panel discussion and a conversation with you, looking into the prolific career of Herb Ritz. They were two of his closest colleagues and friends, and today Mark McKenna directs the Herb Ritz Foundation. That's going to be in the Kauffman Theater, and you can RSVP. It's free, by the way, RSVP at reservations.chrysler.org. Every time we talk about the Chrysler, I think it's so important to go back and underscore the free aspect of that, Susan Leidy, because I think, first of all, it's amazing for a community to do that, and we should note that there were donors who made that possible, which is a beautiful thing. Yes. I wonder how that free admission is changing the Chrysler.
Well, we like to laugh about the fact that it makes people spend less time at the museum, and how that's a good thing. Think if you're there with your family and young children, and we welcome those groups to come, and you've paid, you know, $20 or whatever you've paid for a museum fee, you feel like you have to go on the forced march for hours to get your money's worth. And so what if you're local here? You can come. You can spend half an hour until the kids are tired of doing. You can look at one painting. You can leave and you can come back. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful way of welcoming everyone to not feel like they need to spend hours and become exhausted.
Yes. So if your child melts down, it's A-okay. Come back another day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or
absolutely.
I mean, nobody's gonna get
if you're grown up
fussy
melts
about
down.
That. Yeah. Because that could happen as well.
That could happen as well.
The other thing I notice at the Chrysler that I really appreciate, and I notice that people are really using these, and it's an important point for those of you who may have folks in your family who have some mobility issues or who have stamina issues, you know, just can't quite stand up for that length of time. You've got some wonderful options there, including great accessibility ramps.
We do, and we have wheelchairs available for loan. We have enhanced listening devices for the auditorium. So we have a lot of things available.
Yeah. And those little stools that you can take around with
absolutely,
you.
Which are pretty lightweight and easy and come in two sizes.
Yeah, that's great. So if you're you decide you just want to spend some time in a particular gallery and just sit and enjoy it, and there's not a space available to do that, you just take your own chair.
And we work very, very hard to make everybody feel welcome.
Yeah, that's so true. You get a welcome when you walk in the door, which is lovely, and then a direction of sort of what's going on and where to go, and there's always something interesting to see.
It is the first museum, and I've worked in many museums over the years, it's the first museum where I can confidently say, come, you will feel welcome to everybody I meet, and so, that's a great thing.
I wonder, how is that being received in the larger museum world? Because this is a bit experimental, isn't it?
We are considered a leader in that field, and a number of other museums, including in large metropolitan areas, have been in touch with us to model their programs on what
really?
We do.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So it is something that we've been listed in publications and other things as one of the leaders in the field of visitors.
Well, I tell you, you just have to take your hat off to the leaders and to that unique team of leaders and donors at that time that made that happen, because it's been transformative. Mark McKenna and Lori Kratochvil, thank you so much for being with us today, and we look forward to having you here Saturday afternoon for the conversation at the Chrysler.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Can you make sure they get lunch at Wisteria, Susan?
I will. Right, we will indeed.
Sure about that. We'll see you Saturday. The other thing I want to ask you about before we go is that wonderful thing that you all did at the Chrysler, which has nothing to do with the Herb Ritz photography, by the way, but it was your little dance competition, which really captured the world, I think. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a website called When You Work at a Museum, which is a museum nerd website, followed mostly by people who work in museums.
Actually work in museums, yes.
I believe this was the third year of an international dance competition for museum staff. Museum staff's not probably on the forefront of dancing or things like that. And so to put on our best face and compete with each other and use our the resources that we have, our galleries, our staff, so we were one of two finalists. We sadly lost to a large museum in Melbourne, Australia.
Dagon Australians got us.
But we were very proud of our effort. And one of the things when I looked at it, and I wasn't involved in the production of it at all, but one of the things I was proudest of is it included everyone on our staff.
Every member of the museum staff was somehow represented.
Yes. Yeah. And our producers did a really good job in being inclusive.
It's a very, very charming video. And When You Work at a Museum is the website if you want to go on and look at that. But I think we should, because I don't think this has ever been fully noted in terms of the weight that it deserves, which is that in Australia, they basically brought the whole country into it with their network newscast that night. So, I mean, seriously,
there's next year, Kathy.
I know. Lester Holt, I'm talking to you. If we'd had Lester Holt on board, we might have had a different outcome, because
absolutely.
Didn't the Australian, Lester Holt, David Muir, whoever it is, put this out on their newscast, then all of a sudden, because I was there early in the morning trying to fight the good fight, because you can vote as many times as you want. So I don't have a life. That's what that boils down to. But all of a sudden, these Australians were on it, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Well, that's what was going on. So
indeed.
I'm just saying, you have to be fair about these things. So, but you know what? It's all fair. We just have to marshal our resources next year to make sure that we do it.
Exactly.
So our fine Chrysler Museum going up against the entire nation of Australia, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to happen. By the way, your staff did a great job of putting that very charming video together, too. And what a great team builder that is, and mm-hmm. a great opportunity to see. So you'll get to see the dancing stylings of both of our guests today if you visit
your
New York Museum.
Well,
and you have a whole year to prepare for the next one, so I'm looking for bigger results next year. That was a pretty amazing accomplishment. Seth Feman, thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it. The Chrysler's director or curator of exhibitions and acting curator of photography. And Susan Leidy, thank you for being with us as well.
You're very welcome.
The deputy director there at the Chrysler. Lots of fun things going on at the Chrysler all summer long. It's a beautiful place to take your family. There's some lovely sitting areas. You can be right there on the Hague. Beautiful statuary outside that is very inspiring to people of all ages. So I hope you'll take an opportunity to see these exceptional photographs from Herb Ritts and then just take a walk around the rest of the museum. Isn't it a magnificent glass collection, a beautiful statuary, all kinds of really important work you can see there. By the way, as well, you'll want to check out the Women and the Civil Rights Movement exhibit because these photos are unbelievable.
Yeah, this is a show put together by my colleague Alex Mann, the American art curator, and it's an incredible show all from our collection of that. It's very strong in holdings of civil rights imagery, and he went through and he focused specifically on women either being represented or who, in some cases, took the images. And I think it sheds some new light on a story that we've come to see, and really adds a new dimension to that. And I hope people will, when they visit and see Herb Ritts, they'll also spend some time up there in our photo gallery.
It's amazing.
Show.
There's a beautiful photograph called Helen Ann Smith at Harlem House, Beale Street, Memphis, taken by Ernest Withers, and Ernest Withers is no longer with us, but he visited the Chrysler, had an excellent exhibit of his work there, came here and did this show. In my 20 years, I don't know that I have ever, I think there have been few conversations that were more moving than that one. And one of my former colleagues, Cindy Party, was a great story. She used to work in Memphis in a public broadcasting facility, and Ernest Withers was still in the same storefront photography business, you've probably heard this story, that he had always been in. And she went in there one day, and these unbelievable photographs were just sort of sticking helter-skelter out of file cabinets. And she pulls one out, and she's like, this is Martin Luther King, excuse me, and who is this? And so she did this really interesting documentary of how they kind of pulled that work together and got it ready to tour the country. And I thought he was one of the most humble, important figures in the civil rights. I don't think he ever had a sense of how important he was in that movement. As an artist was in that movement.
Yeah, it's one of the nice things about working at the Chrysler is that we have this incredible photography collection, and it's just full of exciting things. And every time me or any of my colleagues start going through the files, we discover more and more to put on view. And so there's this constant ability to produce new shows from the objects that we have and to grow it in that way.
It's really fascinating. And then the other thing that's great is when you get the opportunity to meet some of these artists, you should really take advantage of that because they're fascinating people. And when they're no longer with us, you can think back to that moment. That's a really, in my little career, that is a really great moment to have met Ernest Withers. And, he was also the one who took the iconic photograph of Emmett Till after he was killed, which sparked so much. You know, these images are very powerful, and it's amazing what they can do to spark social change, to spark all kinds of important movements in the larger culture. And that's the role of art. That's one of the roles of art, anyway. And we don't want to say that's the only role of art, because you can also get your selfie, right?
I mean, it's
all across the spectrum. So I hope you'll get to enjoy the Chrysler's exhibits this summer. It's a great place to take your family, and I think you'll really enjoy it. We will be back in just a moment. We're coming back at 15 minutes before 1 o'clock. I don't know if you are aware of this. Maybe you are, maybe you are not. But boy, one of the iconic public radio programs, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, has actually been in Best Ofs for some time because the brothers actually retired some years ago. And then one of them sadly left us. And so they those shows have been in reruns for quite a while. And we knew that this day would come, that we would be moving on from Car Talk with great appreciation for everything that it has meant to our listeners. But that day is coming this Saturday. This Saturday morning will be the last edition of Car Talk here on 89.5 WHRV. Now, of course, you can still... I'm sure you can still listen to the show at their website, and I'm sure you can buy all the merchandise and all the rest at the website. But we're very excited about the show that we have coming into the Saturday morning lineup. It's called On Story, and its host, Brian Ramos, joins us now. Nice to have you with us today. Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon, Kathy. Good afternoon. Great to be here.
You have a really interesting program here, and it has emerged in what is an undoubtedly creative community, and that is Austin, Texas, most specifically around the Austin Film Festival. So tell us a little bit about On Story.
Well, On Story is born from the Austin Film Festival and Conference, which began in 1993. So now we are moving into our 20th year. It's great. We have a vast archive of recordings. These are all discussions on the art and craft of storytelling. So film and television, this is the one film festival that focuses on the screenwriter, really, truly worldwide. Typically, you see film festivals that are very director-oriented or actor-oriented, etc. We love storytelling. And so we've dug in to the archive as far back as 20 years and as recently as sometimes events that have happened only weeks before prior to the release of a program.
Wow.
So we've got the best of everybody who's making the movies and the TV that you all love, you know?
You know, it strikes me that this is coming at just the right time. Not that 28 years hasn't been the right time, but I mean, talking about popularizing this on PRI, because everything we are told now talks about this role of storytelling as being such an important way to convey information, to convey events and the like. And so it seems like you're really right on time with this.
Absolutely. And I think the public has become so sophisticated at this point that not only is storytelling in the immediate a great and fascinating thing for the public to listen to, but we kind of take it a little step further, and it's a bit meta in its way because this is the background of where those stories come from. So it's kind of a beautiful thing. And along the way, a lot of these people, I mean, the stories behind the stories are often as engrossing as the stories themselves. That's what we find.
And so how does the show go? Give us a sense of a format and sort of what we can expect.
So we, of course, we're in this documentary format, not to get too technical or too radio-centric about it, but typically we'd have two or more guests who have been pre-recorded, and the topics range from a deconstructing of, say, a film like David Fincher's Seven or Dog Day Afternoon. And so the first half of our program will be one or more guests discussing that particular topic. And then a second half, or sometimes even a third segment, will feature a second party discussing, let's say, their entire career. That some of these guys, men and women, whose careers span 30, 40, 50 years in the industry. You know, other times it's very new, it's newcomers to the industry who are just making this cutting edge material. That, for instance, recently we featured, we're closing out, let's say, Jenji Kohan, who created Orange is the New Black, which just premiered on Netflix a couple of days ago, and so we're thinking about bringing that back out. We've had everyone from, you know, her to Norman Lear, who's been making television since the 1950s. And this man is now in his 90s and is amazing. The stories that this guy tells are incredible, and, it's a dense amount of information to convey in a 59-minute program. But it's fantastic, I think. We're very happy with it.
We should note as well, there's a podcast that you can download as well. There's a book from some of these conversations and lots of archives as well. OnStory.tv is the public digital hub where you can see everything that they've done over time. We're at 10 minutes before the hour. You know, it strikes me, Brian, that this might have been a concept in terms of a radio show that might have been a little less accessible some years ago, but now that the storytelling tools, so many storytelling tools, are being put into the hands of all of us, and we sort of democratize that process to a certain extent, certainly not suggesting that the everyday person has the talent that some of the people have that you're talking to, but it does strike me that this is a moment where it becomes more accessible.
Absolutely, and you know, I think the rise of the internet has really made so many things much more accessible to everyone. You know, before you'd have to wait around and hope that your favorite programs or your favorite television shows were going to come on. And now everybody's got everything on demand. And I think it's allowed, given everyone the freedom to really look a little more closely at what it is they're into and what is it about those stories that really gets them. And we're really, really fortunate. I mean, it's been such a privilege for all of us to go back on this material that had been sitting in an archive that is now, you're absolutely right, we're able to break that stuff open, and it's been a pretty ambitious job to put it together, and now it seems like the wheels of production are just really moving fast.
Yeah.
With this stuff.
Well, we have a clip that will tell you more about the show.
From Austin Film Festival and PRI Public Radio International, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Brian Ramos. On today's episode, we look back on the epic Western miniseries Lonesome Dove with the show's producers, cast, and crew, including Robert Duvall, Danny Glover, Diane Lane, Suzanne DePass, and many more.
Well, I've gotten to travel a lot. Wherever you go, people know about Lonesome Dove.
Everybody in the film belonged there.
I was invited to come and audition for Buffalo Heifer.
And I said, you know, we can do without the cattle totally. We just do it with goats. We'll have them buy a small herd of goats, and they'll be the first guy to take a herd of goats to Montana.
That sounds pretty fun. You know, Brian, I wonder, we've heard so much in recent years about low-budget productions that seem to sort of take the world by surprise by their success. I wonder if that piece of it is a piece of what you've noted over time.
Most certainly. Most certainly. We see it during the film festival and conference are the registrants who come and the presenters. There's a lot more fluidity. There's everything we've been talking about. There's a lot more accessibility. We have everyone in the registrant pool. We've got everyone from, you know, veteran filmmakers who are coming just to take part in seeing the festival from just a fan standpoint, all the way to just film fans who, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have had the average film fan coming to listen to discussions about storytelling.
Mm.
And the numbers just keep going up, up, up. And I meet all these people. You know, I spend a lot of time in the festival and conference, just kind of shaking hands and talking to people. And it's just incredible from, you know, a teacher from somewhere in North Carolina to, you know, a city councilman from somewhere outside of New Jersey to et cetera. You know, it's really beautiful to see how people have embraced this stuff.
Well, congratulations on a great run of this, and welcome to WHRV. I know that your show is picking up stations all over the country.
Absolutely. We are thrilled to be at WHRV.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathy.
You bet. Brian Ramos is the host of On Story, which features directors and screenwriters and producers and folks who make films. And what they're doing is looking at their creative process. It'll be a really, really interesting show taking place not this Saturday, because this Saturday will be the last presentation of Car Talk with Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, but it will be an opportunity that will be coming your way a week from Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour. So We'll look forward to adding that to the Saturday morning lineup. Hey, by the way, this weekend, don't forget about the Hampton Jazz Festival coming up. You can certainly get tickets there. Kenny Chesney's coming to town. That's kind of exciting as well. So lots going on this week. At the Hampton Jazz Festival, by the way, you got Gladys Knight coming, so you know that is going to be great. June 23rd, we have an evening with Bruce Hornsby coming up at Phi Beta Kappa Hall. So lots and lots and lots going on as we head into the summer season in Hampton Roads. I forget, is today the longest day of the year? Or I think it's sometime this week is the longest day of the year. So I hope you'll let's get our summer solstice correspondent on that, shall we? I think we have one, don't we? We're at 5 minutes before 1 o'clock. What we're also working on this summer is your stories about sea level rise and land subsidence and recurrent flooding. And we have this hotline set up. So if you are somebody who has a story to tell, maybe your house is in the process of being lifted. Maybe you have had an insurance claim. Maybe you are making changes and doing things differently as a result of sea level rise and recurrent flooding. And if that's the case, we'd love to hear from you. We're asking you to call what we're calling the coastline. Isn't that adorable? And that is going to be 689-7987. And I'm going to tell you the area code on that is 757. So that's 757-689-7987. Or you can send us an email to coast-line@whro.org. That's coast-line@whro.org. You can do that as well. Up next here on 89.5, a special programming reveal presenting After Orlando. That's coming up right in just a few moments at 1 o'clock on 89.5 WHRV. And then coming up tonight on WHRO TV 15, the Antiques Roadshow is making stops in Tucson and Phoenix. Did you see the temperatures there yesterday? Something like 116 to 120 degrees. Can't believe it. That's at 8 and 9 o'clock tonight, the Antiques Roadshow on WHRO TV 15. And so that's coming up. Thanks so much for listening to us today, and we will see you right back here tomorrow.